Hi, this is Maury Moreland Morrison, here to tell you GEICO has more than just great savings. Much more. GEICO's been around for more than 75 years, back when they were using Morse code. Sorry, that's just my sense of humor. What's more, with GEICO, you get 24/7 access to licensed agents on the app, online, or over the phone, so you can talk to them at night or in the morning. So forevermore, just know that no other auto insurer has more than GEICO. More power to you. GEICO. Expect great savings and a whole lot more.
Be health conscious. This episode here is all about the man Randy Osei. We'll be calling in. He's on the phone right now. We got him right now. Randy, what's going on, man?
Not much, man. How are you guys doing?
Hey. Good morning. Good morning. What is it? Are you over in the West Coast or are you here on the East Coast?
I'm actually in Toronto right now.
Okay. I ain't never been to Toronto. I heard Toronto is lovely though.
Oh my goodness! You gotta come. You gotta come. Especially our summers are pretty wild.
What is it? I always hear about the Caribbean festivals, like the best one.
Oh yeah, Caribana.
Caribana. Okay.
Yeah.
Okay. Nice.
Caribana. A lot of Americans come down and a bunch of parties and events and. He's into OVO Fest with Drake and a whole bunch of art. So it's a very good weekend to connect with people as well. I actually really enjoy it.
Did you mention OVO Fest?
Yeah.
Did you? Are you a Drake fan yourself? I have to ask because I have to ask everybody.
I've music sometimes, but not of him.
Yes. There we go. See, I got somebody on my side, even though I'm not even with the music though, but. I appreciate your honesty.
Yeah.
We finally got some. Yeah. Is he big in Toronto, man? Like, seriously, like,
oh,
I mean.
Man. Yeah, he can't go nowhere.
He literally can't go
to Toronto.
Okay. So they show him plenty of love.
Too much.
Man. So, yeah, could we get into even, like, your Rosé management company? Could you just talk a little bit about that and how it all started?
Yeah, for sure. Rosé management, you know, it just kind of came out of nowhere for me. I was a college basketball player playing in college out here in Toronto, and I took an opportunity to go help a team, and, you know, that turned into me working with the number one pick of the 2013 draft. And just, you know, going through trials and tribulations with him, looking at a lot of, I seen there was an avenue where I could possibly pursue. So within that, I, you know, explored a couple of options, and a year or two later, I decided to come out with my company, and it's the best thing ever since. Rosé management in its entirety is player management, day-to-day, branding, a bit of marketing, some event production for some of the guys as well. And then there's a sports marketing side where I work with two brands by the name of Embellish NYC Denim, and my still watches. So that's pretty much what Rosé management is. Player management and sports marketing put together. There's a bit of event production, some marketing consulting for some brands and things like that. And, to be honest with you, it's just been me collaborating and trying to bridge different gaps. If you go on my website, my slogan says, leverage fame at every turn. And that's something that kind of helped me understand and push my brand while pushing others' brands as well.
Yeah, Randy, my question for you is, did you go to law school or anything? Or?
I was in university. I was taking, my major was sociology. I didn't touch law school. I didn't even graduate university to begin with.
So USA College had a higher education had nothing to do with being a sports agent.
Oh, I'm not an agent. I'm not an agent whatsoever.
Oh, not an agent. Oh, wow. No. Okay. So what
exactly
would your, like, what would you classify yourself as? Like, just manager?
Just manager. Yeah.
Manager.
So,
okay.
You know, day to day, a bit of branding, bit of marketing, and, you know, just trying to make sure that guys can just focus on playing basketball.
But you said
little things.
You're still getting a good piece of that, a chunk of that check, right?
I wish.
The agents, it's the agents that eat. The agents get the whole 4% and all that. I get a monthly salary that, you know, keeps me humble.
Is it true, like, the agents and the managers, they kind of fight back? Like, I used to always watch Entourage. And I'm sure you watched that. And there was always Ari Gold and Eric. They would go back and forth. You know, they always had, like, a little problem there. Is that, like, true?
I mean, most times, yes. Because, you know, the agent's coming from an agency, and the agency has a vision of, you know, where they want to take a player. And then, you know, usually a manager that is working with a player is either, like, a longtime friend or, you know, someone that they've hired from the inside, and their vision could be completely different.
Okay.
So sometimes it's a little hard to kind of get everybody on the same page and making sure that, you know, keeping everybody happy. It could be a little bit of conflict here and there. But, I mean, if both parties' main interest is to make sure that the player's brand, the player's off-court brand is going in the same direction, most times people flip it out.
My question for you also is, you know, I was reading into a little bit into your background, and, you know, you were originally pursuing basketball as a player, and then that didn't necessarily work out, and then started to transition into, you know, into the role that you have now. How was that transition in terms of pursuing, you know, in terms of pursuing sports and basketball first as a player, and then transitioning over to what you're partaking in now?
It was pretty difficult. You know, you get used to waking up early and going for runs and going to lift and doing all that to waking up and answering emails and putting together projects and things like that. But with me, what I did was I made sure I kept the same kind of mindset that, I mean, you got to work hard. You have to continue to, you know, persevere and, I mean, just never settle. I mean, at first it was pretty difficult because something brought, like, I've been playing since maybe I was like 6 or 7, like a little tight net in my backyard. And by the time I was 22, 23, it was like, okay, I think I need to put this up and pursue other things. So it was pretty difficult. But a lot of things that basketball taught me, to play, you know, working hard and things like that, definitely transferred over where I'm at now.
Yeah, and my question for you is, did you grow up in Toronto and stuff, playing basketball and all that? I just wanted to confirm.
Yeah. So, I was actually born in Montreal, and I moved to Toronto when I was about 3 or 2.
Yeah, so you got the chance to play against or with Andrew Wiggins growing up?
No, I actually coached Andrew.
Oh.
I'm Andrew, 13, yeah. I'm 26. Andrew's like 21, I think.
Yeah, he's my age.
My class that I grew up and played with is like Tristan Thompson, mm-hmm. Corey Joseph, Melvin Ejim, a bunch of guys that went high level D1. I played with those guys.
How was it playing with those guys growing up and everything? Did you think, you know, when kind of your basketball career kind of ended, you were like, oh, I remember playing with these guys and I was better than them?
At one point, they way surpassed me. And we hit like 16 ish. But yeah, no, it was great. I mean, I still have all those great contacts. And actually, I think it was 2012 in December, I went to spend time with Tristan Thompson. Went down to Cleveland, spent a week with him just to kind of see what it was like for the life of an NBA player and how you positively impact their on court by taking care of things off the court for them. So that was actually a major indicator for me that, okay, I want to work on this side of basketball. So
playing
time with Tristan was actually a great experience.
Right. And my last question is, do you think with Team USA and Canada, do you think Canada is eventually going to surpass Team USA?
Yes. Of course.
Really?
About how soon?
Man, I mean, Canada basketball. Yeah, basketball. You have the players. It comes down to maybe the next Olympics, 2020.
2020?
2020.
Is it 2020 or 2019?
It'd be 20.
Yeah, 2020. 2020 is the next Olympics.
Yeah.
Yeah. So 2020, I think we'll be ready. Like, you know, Andrew would be 26, 25. You know, a lot of our guys would be older and more into their prime. You know, most of our guys right now are still really young. I mean, one of our oldest Canadians is 26, Andrew Nicholson.
Yeah.
You know, and the guys that follow after him are like 21. Anthony Bennett's 23. Tyler Ennis is 22. So he's still fairly young. And I think with, you know, time, our guys are going to mature and be able to compete with anybody in the world.
Are you speaking from your heart here, or are you being objective, Mr. Randy?
No, I'm definitely being objective.
No,
because I know that a lot of guys. I mean, I watch basketball every day.
Yes,
and
yes.
I know, especially watching the NBA guys as they get older. You know, they get stronger, IQ raises, things like that. So I just think Team Canada, although I do know them all personally, still young.
Randy, you know what? You know all this talent coming out of Canada. Can you kind of tell me what you think? You know, kind of led to this, you know, raising of talent, you know, in Canada, and why people are starting to choose basketball over hockey. You know, hockey's really big in Canada.
I don't even know why hockey's big in Canada. I personally, but I would kind of attribute it to when we had Vince Carter, 98, 99, it was, and just that whole surge. So basketball's cool, and he was windmilling and dunking on people and dropping 50, and it just sparked this interest. You know, amongst myself, and I there was one point I thought Vince Carter was also Canadian. In fact, he transferred over everything, and he became a Canadian. So I would actually attribute it to, you know, back to the early 2000s when we had Vince and, you know, we made playoff runs and things like that.
Okay, who's the bigger Canadian basketball star, Steve Nash or Vince Carter? Like you were saying,
if you ask me, Vince Carter.
Vince Carter.
Yeah, just because he played in Toronto. Steve was Canadian, but we may have seen him once a year because he was always on a West Coast team, whether it be Dallas, Phoenix, or LA. Yeah.
So would you say, you know, Vince Carter has been kind of to this generation of, you know, Canadian basketball players to, you know, what Michael Jordan meant to, you know, American basketball players?
I would say that.
Wow.
I would definitely say that.
Would you guys, I remember when the separation happened with Vince and T-Mac, like looking back, would you guys have wanted, like how upset were you when they split up?
At the time, I didn't really. I mean, how old was that? I was probably like 11.
Yeah.
Yeah. So, to me, like Vince Carter was God, and
T-Mac was just
he was just his cousin.
Yeah.
I didn't think Tracy McGrady was that good until he left.
That's so true. Yeah.
Say that again. Sorry.
No, it's so true because then he was just known as Vince Carter's cousin.
Yeah.
Like, that's really what we
and then
all
when he went to Orlando. He started averaging 30 points. I was like, yo, why didn't you do this in Toronto? But I guess that puts things into perspective that, you know, not everything's going to work out the way you want it to. So.
Yeah. With all of this talent that is coming out of Canada in terms of basketball, it kind of makes you wonder because there's always talk about where the NBA will expand to next. Will they expand to Vegas? Will they expand to Seattle? Vancouver also was a Canadian city that once had a team. Do you foresee potentially the NBA expanding to put maybe one more team in Canada?
I could see that happening. I mean, we have pretty good markets. I work with Thon Maker, so I'm in Milwaukee often. I've never seen the arena be sold out once. You know, the Warriors came to town and it was probably at like 75%. But I know if you bring NBA teams to like a Montreal or maybe a Calgary, it'll fill. It'll definitely fill.
You talked about your relationship with these guys. Is it just kind of natural? As far as how it shapes, I mean, you said Thon Maker.
I think with me, it was
after I stopped playing, I went back and started coaching. I let Nolan, Andrew, and Tyler, and I guess the more, I mean, you know, relationships, the more time you spend with people, you know, the deeper it gets, and at that point, there's a process. I was just, you know, just there being able to help. So, someone that, you know, a lot of guys just turn to, and
if you
help with anything, they know, you know, that I'm there. So.
Yeah, Randy, you brought up Thon Maker, and I was going to wait until a little later, but you already brought him up. How old is Thon Maker?
Man, that kid is 19 years old. He's 19 years old. I mean, I was with him draft day, and he was like, yo, Randy, look at this. And I was like, what is this? And you know, he showed me there's a tweet and a picture, and he's like, crazy. And then, you know, I did a double take. So, 24? But then I really went back and I looked and I'm like, no, it's just a but he's a mature 19-year-old. Like, he's a mature 19-year-old. I mean, he speaks very well and he understands business of the game already. You know, so... he's a big kid. He's still a kid, but he's a big one.
Yeah, I just wanted to confirm from the man himself.
Thon is 19 years old.
Okay, cool.
Did you, like, with him and, well, I guess comparing him, Thon went straight to the league, and then also with Anthony, he had just 1 year and then left. Do you think either one of them, you would wanted to see them have maybe a little bit more time in college, or you think both of them made the right decisions?
No, I think they both made the right decision. Just in terms of this basketball thing, I mean, there's a window. Everyone has a window. There's times that your window's going to be as big as it's ever going to be. And, you know, if you don't take that jump, you never know. You leave too much things to chance. I know it's not a matter of going to college to just go to college for a year. He wasn't going to graduate in 1 year. Or go to the NCAA and try to grow that, you know, he's going to be playing in for the next 15 to 20 years. So I think they both made the right decision. It was just a matter of timing. And you hear about guys that, you know, like, oh, maybe I end up not even reaching the NCAA. So, you know, scared to stop happens. Try to make that decision.
Go ahead. And in addition, I also wanted to, you know, ask a little bit about how, you know, there's just so much money nowadays, you know, going back to the business side of it, there's just so much money nowadays, you know, in the NBA. I mean, with, you know, television deals being so lucrative and, you know, sponsorship deals and marketing deals just being so lucrative, you know, how has that, you know, how's that, the fact that there's just so much money now in the NBA affected, you know, in terms of, you know, how players, you know, and especially your work, in terms of how players brand themselves?
Oh, it's important. It's important that guys really look at themselves as a company. When you're branded on the court, it's important to be branded off the court and vice versa. Companies are looking to spend money because, like, basketball, I think basketball is a sport to play right now. Revenues through the roof, and you know, it's harder for people to try to, you know, try to pay for it because they have some life done on them. So it's important that a lot of guys have, you know, the circle around them, like a good entourage that helps them make sure that they protect the brand and, no matter how you look at it, whether guys are making $1 million or $30 million, you can protecting that brand and increasing that brand will also help to increase, you know, the money that you make off the court.
Which is true for sure, which is definitely true for sure. And also, it must be, you know, it must be gratifying for, you know, for players, you know, when they, you know, when they, you know, you see certain things, you know, when they, you know, as far as them, you helping them, and then all of a sudden you seeing the fruits of, you know, of your work, and, you know, them going back to you and then saying that, you know, really, you know, thank you for everything that, you know, that you've done. And, you know, not only, you know, saying that to you personally, but also, you know, when they, you know, when they go out and they're asked about it, and, you know, you see them, you know, echo those very same sentiments about what you've been able to do for their branding efforts in terms of who they are, you know, not only as players, but also as brands.
Absolutely. Absolutely. I think that's the biggest part for me, is being able to positively affect guys on the court and off the court. Curating ideas and seeing it come to fruition. I've been past years, you know, I ran his basketball camp here and with Anthony Bennett Skills Academy, and we selectively select. Jerseys, vests, you know, a pair of basketball shoes, whether it be Kyrie, Kobe.
Breaking up.
What I do is I like to invite all the top coaches and trainers to train these kids. So it's not, I mean, I know when you know, like my, we have like two things, is I want it to be pretty organic, but I always wanted it to be content. And with me, one thing I saw with a lot of guys that you know, since you ran by their friend, it's a little thing. I make sure that, you know, kids are actually getting something that can help them in the long term. You know, so I had a medical team come in and work out the kids that had, you know, common testing tests and their foot speed and all that. And I just wanted to make sure that, you know, it makes Anthony look good. You know? And Pastor has done that, and next year I'm forward to growing it to be bigger and better.
Hey, Randy, is there any way you can get to a clearer area, or is it, because we're like losing you in and out.
Oh, really?
Tone it. We're being told, turn your radio down if you can, or?
Oh, my radio's not even on.
It's not on? It's not even on. Yeah, we're just like, it's like in and out. We keep getting you in spots, and then it fades, and then you're back.
Okay. How's it now?
That's better now. Yeah, that's much better right now. You talked about Anthony Bennett and your relationship with him a little bit. How tough was it for you, even just watching his first year or so and the struggles he went through? I mean, number one pick like that, and he's gotten beaten up a lot in the media with his first year in Cleveland, and then even going forward a little bit there.
Oh, it was tough. I mean, you know, Anthony and me have been really tight. You know, his mom like calls me every other day, and I mean, like my brother. So just to see my brother go through a tough time was really hard to watch. But I was there to, you know, support him the best that I can and try to keep pushing him. Anthony's a great kid, and I mean, there's so many things that could have went another way with his career. So many things that went differently. But at the end of the day, you know, there's no better timing than God's timing. So, you know, God wanted him to come out. And, I mean, he's year four now. He's still in the NBA. So, I mean, that's a testament to itself that he's actually still here.
Yeah.
Although a lot of people have written him off and things like that. And if you really look at it, he hasn't really been given a real opportunity to just, you know what, Anthony, go. Just go.
Yeah.
Go and get it. Just try and go and figure it out. So, I mean, right now he's in Brooklyn. They play tonight. I think they play San Antonio. And, you know, past couple of games, he's really, really locked in, and I think he's going to have a really, really good year.
You think Cleveland wasn't patient enough with him? I saw they put him.
Absolutely.
They had him at a position from what I saw. I mean, they tried to put him at a small four. Is that correct?
Yeah. I mean, I think the biggest thing was they were bringing in Anthony expecting for him to add 15 more wins to the game, to the season, right away. And, I mean, Anthony missed summer league. He missed the draft process. And it was just cleared a few weeks before training camp. So I in my opinion, Cleveland should have held him out until he was ready. He was playing at, I think, was it 15 pounds, 20 pounds overweight. Imagine, oh, wow. You playing basketball. You haven't played in a few months. And you come back and you're playing with a weight. I think that's what you have to deal with. And obviously, if you're used to doing certain things and you get to this next level, you can't do it, it's frustrating. I think it hit him a little bit mentally, and it was tough. It was tough. But at the end of the day, we went to $5 million or whatever they're paying you, and they want you to play right now. Then you got to try to play. Mm-hmm. And I was told that for a rookie, you know, that's the advice for you to get in the best shape of your life, because you can't be learning and trying to pay attention when you're trying to catch your breath. When you're trying to catch your breath, all you're trying to do is catch your breath.
Yeah.
With him not being and ready, and you know them still wanting him to play, it was tougher. So,
do you think the Sixers taking their time with Ben Simmons, you think that's gonna make him put him in a better position for the rest of his career?
Absolutely. Even if you go back to Anthony's draft, Nerlens Noel came in and his ACL was torn, and he could have played come October, November, but they were patient with it and made sure that he was at 100%. And he was ready to go before they put him on the floor, and he came, I think, the January or February of that season, and was ready to go.
Right. How much were they expecting Anthony to contribute right away? I mean, I understand it's the number one pick, but I mean, did the pick surprise you guys at all?
Oh, absolutely!
I was
sitting at the table, and I remember I had just walked into the green room, and the guy from Draft Express called out to Anthony's agent and said, "Hey, I think AD's going to go number 8 to Detroit." So in the back of my mind, I was like, "Oh, okay, cool. Detroit's close to Toronto. It's like a 3.5-hour drive. I can go home whenever." So we're sitting, and David Stern comes out, and his agent's phone vibrates. And he goes, "Oh, what the hell?" So I look at him. "Yo, what's up?" "Yo, you're interesting." So, like, we all kind of, like lightly freaked out, but then they brought the cameras around, so we couldn't really react to what we wanted. We had to, you know, go stale face, and man, they said his name, and I shivered. I didn't know what to do.
Did you feel the pressure, like, at that moment? Like, it started right
now?
No, then?
I was more elated and happy for it, you know, him and his family, and I mean, he grew up in a rough part of Toronto early in his life, and I don't know, everything started coming back to, you know, from him getting hurt while he was at UNLV, and then he had some NCAA issues while trying to get into UNLV, and then he had some back problems in high school, and just to see him overcome all that adversity and being taken number one was just being a parent, but you know, definitely, really happy I was able to be a part of it.
What would you say to some of these young kids trying to decide, you know, should they go pro or should they stay in college a year? You know, what kind of person does a kid have to be to deal with some of these pressures that come with being a number one pick and, you know, a franchise expecting you to change their, you know, their future?
Right. I think my biggest piece of advice is, if you want to go play in the big leagues, you got to learn how to be a professional. And like I said, that is, it's understanding that this is now your job. Like, you can't even play with it. So if a team wants you in at 9:30 in the morning, get there at 8:55. Mm-hmm. And just stay dedicated to your craft, because, I mean, there's only like 460 jobs, and every year there's another 30 to 60 guys that are trying to come back in to draft. There's guys that went to Europe that are trying to get back in. There's guys in the D League that are trying to come back in. So if you're not a professional, you don't take care of your work. I mean, the game will humble you. You know, I know a bunch of guys that went overseas and had to come back, and then they finally, you know, realized. So the sooner you, understand and try to be a student of the game and always trying to learn and trying to get better, taking the time that you need to watch film, get an extra, you know, weight, extra cardio, extra shot, all that stuff goes a long way. You may not see it in your first year even. A lot of guys get drafted and don't even play. But, you know, if you
you know, trust the process, as Joel Embiid would say. due time, you know, your time will come.
What happened exactly with Mike Kabongo? Do you remember that with the Texas situation?
Oh, Mike.
I feel terrible, man. Like, because I had, like, high hopes for Kabongo, man. I thought he's going to be a really NBA player.
I mean, I think we all did. He was a McDonald's. Yeah. I mean, if you're a McDonald's All-American, I mean, you're an NBA. I do remember Mike. I remember he was supposed to leave after his first year, and he was projected top 20.
Yeah.
And I remember he had to return to school because he wanted to be lottery. Which is, I mean, I totally understand, but that goes back to what I was talking about in terms of your window.
Yeah.
You know, at the time, I don't think Mike would have been projected any higher. But, you know, he decided to go back and got in trouble with the NCAA, and teams were just kind of off of him. So it's hard to say what he could have done and what he should have done, but at the end of the day, I mean, Mike's a man, and Mike made that decision. I'm sure he's still playing basketball, the game that he loves, and maybe not at the highest level, but still sure he's good. I see Mike here. His younger brother I used to coach, Jonathan, and Jonathan's really good as well.
Really? Okay.
Yeah. So,
okay, well, what is, you know, that the NCAA's, you know, one and done rule, you know, what has that kind of done for the health of not only the college game, but, you know, of the program, you know, when guys come to the NBA and, you know, they don't really play and they just kind of, you know, they're gone after a year or two.
Yeah. Have you guys seen the Ben Simmons documentary?
Yeah. The one I think is on the HBO or?
Yeah. Showtime.
Called
One and Done.
Yeah.
And, I think it's dependent on the player. Like, did Ben Simmons really have to go to college? No, not at all. Did he get any better? No. I mean, he's still the same player. There's some guys that do need that year of maturation and getting a little bit more physically ready. And there's some guys that just can just go straight to the NBA. I mean, I think, I don't know. It's hard to say. Could I say Anthony could have went straight to the NBA from high school? I don't think so. It could be the year of just being the man at a school. You look at someone like Ben Simmons. Did he need a year of, I don't think so either. Jamal Murray, I think he needed a year of college to really, you know, enter his game and grow. And, you know, it was probably best for him. But I think it just really depends on the player. But one thing I do not like is how the one and done rule kind of just teases NCAA. You're only going to keep this guy in 1 year for college, and then you got to go spend X amount of dollars to go and be an NBA at games.
That, I mean, surprisingly, even with the one and done, you would think it would. I mean, it has to an extent ruined college basketball. I think people, I think people come in every season, and you would like to see that third year player, and see, you know, at least have that chance where your team comes back the next year with a similar squad and have a chance at, you know, a tournament run. You don't see that anymore. But for what you do, I mean, how does it affect, I mean, your line of work there with the one and done rule?
It's always a little tough. You know, you try to. You know, you kind of try to project who may be coming out in. With some of the kids you may be able to work with.
Yeah.
And then they go back to school. So, I mean, it's part of the business. The same way college coaches recruit. They can recruit this kid for 1 year. Like, they think this kid might be a 3-year player, and he's gone after 1 year. You might have to say that. You can just say he might be one and done, and he ends up staying 4 years. I mean, you just have to roll with the punches and try to do the best that you can with what's in front of you and what's available.
Are you actively always, like, looking for the next kind of, or is it just kind of the next player up, or it just kind of falls into whoever, you know, just day-to-day, whoever you meet, and it's just kind of more natural? Is it, or are you, like, seeking?
I think it's more natural.
More natural, okay.
Yeah, because, I mean, just dealing with NBA players is just certain things that learned that I don't want to be around players. So, you know, if a guy is, you know, a really good kid and he listens and he wants great things and he understands the importance of building it off the court. That's work. Whether if there's a kid that, you know, who's an ass, you know, better than people and not humble and things like that, I wouldn't want to work with them because it would just cause me headaches that I actually don't need. Whether there's money there or not, it doesn't matter. It's going to take the fun out of my job. And once that starts to happen, I can't say that, you know, the lack of work is going to be great.
And one of the things that also that one also looks at when thinking about Anthony Bennett is the fact that in addition to coming into the NBA and having his growing pains, he also spent some time playing international ball for Team Canada. How much did that help in his development?
Oh, absolutely! I think it definitely helped to build confidence, and you know, the international game is very physical. And, you know, Anthony's a very, very physical, you know, player, but he actually does really well international play just because he's a tough matchup. I mean, he's big, 6'8", big wide shoulders. He can shoot it, put the ball on the floor, run the floor well, and internationally, he's a problem. Definitely a problem.
That's good. Oh. Yeah, I mean, even now going forward with what you do and with Anthony, Sean Maker, and Tyler Ennis, what kind of do you see your management company like just a couple years from now? What do you want it to be?
Oh, that's man,
it's tough, right?
Lately, I don't know. Maybe I mean I've looked at maybe possibly becoming a full fledged management, where you know handling finance like a Boulevard management or. We're handling your finances, we're handling your branding, your marketing, while we're in your agency. Or maybe just stay in my lane and get 2-3 guys that I work with, maybe 4 guys that I work with, and just continue to put them throughout their careers. And when they retire, I retire type thing. I haven't really
thought that forward.
Really decided. But I mean, I think both avenues would be okay.
Well, I think even what you're doing with the Rose TV, I watched a couple of them. They're really fun to watch, by the way.
Thank you.
I think like you're just marketing yourself in the right way. So I think over time, like you're saying, there's so much potential there. That's why I'm just wondering exactly what was it that you see this company at in a couple of years. But it's pretty fresh, and it's really cool to see how you're marketing yourselves with the TV show, with the episode. I saw you have Anthony. It was episode 2 or so with Bennett. Yeah, doing those different things. It helps separate you from that competition. Or are you always looking at what the other competitors are doing, or are you just kind of focused on, are those just things you wanted to do yourself, or is it just you're comparing yourself to other competitors and seeing what they don't do and trying to separate yourself from them?
To be honest, I mean, I don't really pay attention to what other people are doing.
Yeah.
Then you just kind of get caught up in, okay, well, if they're doing this, I got to do this. They're doing this, I gotta do this. Because I don't wanna set myself to a standard.
For sure.
Realize myself that I like to try new things and do new things. That's my first year with Anthony. Even from that, I started working with a few brands. And then from that, I started, you know, with other brands. And then, like, okay, maybe I should work with another player and, you know, just try to do different things. So even with those ATV, I have friends that are YouTubers. And they put together a skit, and they had me on it. They had a little vlog chat. They had me on it, and I was just like, I think I want a camera. So I went and bought a camera, and I just brought it with me to Summer League, which was episode 1. And I didn't really have a vision for it. I just wanted to see what I could get on tape and see what it looked like when I put it together. And one thing that came to me was when you bring cameras around a lot of players, they aren't themselves. Because they don't really know who's behind the camera. They don't know what they're gonna take, and da 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 da.
Yeah.
So when I brought my camera around, guys were still themselves, and I was like, "Yo, this is great," because now you actually get to see what guys are like. Like, I went golfing with Sean and Brandon Ingram and Jamal Murray and Michael Beasley, and I was able to catch that on film. If I was the media per se, would I be able to catch that? I don't think so.
Yeah,
because
no.
I have a personal relationship with guys. I could. You know, I could spend a whole day with Tyler Ennis. I could spend a whole day with TJ McCollum. I could do this because guys actually know me and trust me. So it was just literally, let me just see what would happen if I shone this camera on Jordan Clarkson. I think the positive feedbacks, and I'm just, to be honest, I'm just really just, I'm not even looking to do it for money and make money. If it makes money, great.
But you're just doing it, Bill.
I really enjoy telling a story and starting with a vision and watch it come, you know, full-fledged and, you know, fully happen. So I look forward to doing more. I mean, I recently just met Steve Novak.
Oh, nice.
In Milwaukee. Yeah. And I said, yo, hey, I would love to do an episode on you. Like, what do you mean? Hey, you've played in the NBA for 10 years. You've played on, like, 8 different teams. The story that you have to tell is generation. Because, like, you're still here. You haven't played a game this year, but you're still here getting paid to play basketball. What is it that you've done, that you are doing, to help you stay here? Oh, and trying to work on that. So we'll see, man. We'll see. But I thoroughly enjoyed it, and I'm glad people somewhat watch it. Obviously, you know, YouTube goes by the views, and I'm not really, you know, motivated by that. Like, one of my videos is only at, like, 300 views. I'm okay with that. The fact that 300 people clicked it.
That's all. That's good enough. Yeah. Man, no, but that's even, I think one of them, real quick, one of them, you had a guy on there, and I think it got pretty popular. It was a minute video, a skit, and he was, I think, the girl, he was sitting on the couch with his girlfriend, and, like, somebody on Snapchat kept trying to, like, send him a snap, and he was trying to, like ignore it. And act like it wasn't there or something like that. Like, and she kept telling him to answer it.
Yeah, those are Jermaine Richards and Trey Richards. Okay. They do those skits all the time.
And, those are funny. Those are funny, man. Those are dope.
Yeah, those guys are very funny people, and they're actually funny in person as well. That's the crazy part.
Dope.
A lot of them are funny in person, so they actually inspire me and to take the, you know, the whole video and vlogging thing a little serious, and I always bounce ideas off of them. So I'm just thankful to have those guys in my life.
That's dope, man. Well, man, seeing what you're doing, especially at your young age, it's been pretty, it's amazing. Keep doing what you're doing. It's fun to watch, and keep building your brand. And we're definitely taking notice, man. We really appreciate
you
calling,
man. The fact that I'm speaking, you guys are in Atlanta, correct?
Yeah, we in the A. Yep.
This is, I mean, I can't.
You got to come to the A, man. Make sure you come to the A. Everybody's coming here. You might as well join it.
I came to see Son, actually, when he was doing his pre-draft.
Oh, okay.
That was my
okay.
first time, and I definitely need to come back.
You like, okay.
You know how Drake talks about the Hooters on Peachtree
yeah,
Street?
Yeah, oh, God.
I went. I didn't even, you know what? I didn't even order anything. I just went to see what was up.
Was she there?
Man. Got, like, a water with lemon. Oh, my goodness.
That's down the street from my dorm.
Yeah.
Downtown. Oh,
wow. That's right by Georgia State.
Yeah, right by Georgia State.
So when that went, everybody was going talking about her, trying to find her. What was her working hours, man? Did we ever find her? Did we ever find her? I don't think we did. I never found her. I don't think she existed. I think Drake. I don't know. We got to talk to Drake.
Oh, she actually does, because she. I remember after that came out, she started doing parties at whatever her name was, whatever from Peachtree.
I think she works at
parties in LA and da 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 da.
Yeah.
Like, what the hell?
I think she works at she works in Buckhead now at the other Twin Peaks. She works at Twin Peaks in Buckhead now. Wow. I think.
See, Drake made it. Got another person popping, man. We didn't even know. Well, big ups to her. Well, man, I appreciate you for calling in.
Yeah, no, definitely. Thank you, man. Thank you.
Dope vlogs. Keep up the dope vlogs, man.
Yeah, they're good.
Randy Rose, yeah, y'all subscribe to the man.
I appreciate it, man. Thank you guys out of the A-League. Definitely be tuning in a lot
Andrew
more. And
thank you.
Bring in, man. Definitely.
Appreciate it, man. Take care.
I got a question for you guys.
Oh, what's up?
Was it Hillary or Trump for you guys?
Oy vey.
What about Gary? I got Gary. I mean, it was anybody but Trump. You know how that goes here. It was anybody but Trump, but I went with Gary.
I voted Hillary.
I'm a Hillary guy.
Hillary.
I got you.
How much were y'all laughing up there in Canada when y'all saw what we was doing down here with this foolishness?
Well, I was mostly in the States during the whole...
Okay.
So I didn't really
feel it, but a lot of people back home are like, "Yo, I think Trump's gonna win." And I was like, "Nah, there's no way. There's no way." And then, I mean, you Americans never cease to amaze me. I was like, "How are you guys let this happen?"
Well, y'all got Trudeau up there,
yo. Man,
y'all got Lil Trudeau up there.
Hey, I mean, we are accepting immigrants, so if any of you guys want to apply,
yo, just keep that border open, man. I might need to get in there. All right, just keep it open for us, the A-League only. All right,
all right, guys. Let me know if you guys try to make it up to Toronto next summer, man.
That'd be dope, yeah, for sure.
Really, oh, yeah, good time.
You can go to OVO Fest.
Oh, God, I ain't going. Appreciate you, man.
All right, guys. Thanks for having me.
Yeah, no problem. Peace. See, good. Next up, man. Heisman, that was Randy. Randy from Rose Management.
Randy.
And he's doing his thing. 26 years old, already establishing himself. Tyler Ennis, Thon Maker, Anthony Bennett. That's pretty amazing. So we appreciate him calling in.
We need to see if he can get us a discount, you know, when Andrew Wiggins becomes a free agent. And, you know, we need to unload
we should have asked
Paul
that.
Millsap. Yeah. And, you know, we need a star.
We won last night.
So.
Okay. So relax. Take a night off. Relax. Let us win.
Hawks are starting to win once again. So they're starting to get it. They're starting to get it going.
Why? Yeah. Why do you want to win?
Why do I
for what?
Wait. Same reason why you want the Falcons to win. I want the Hawks to win.
Because they're going to win they have a chance to win a championship. The Hawks have no chance really on earth to have a chance to win
really
a championship.
Are we going to get through Seattle? Are we going to get through
Seattle? Dwight Howard's the only one that could beat LeBron James in the East.
You got to stick by that. That's a fact. You got to stick by that.
I mean, the Falcons can beat Seattle. They should have beaten them the first time.
Yeah, they grabbed Julio. I get it. I know, but it ain't gonna happen twice. Now the Seattle's looking like Seattle now. So let's just chill out there a little minute. All right, we're 7-5. Julio's hurt. Who else is hurt? Sanu is a little banged up. So
they'll be all right.
They'll be all right. Oh, we're such a you.
They'll be all right. Falcons they got fans. Free. We got Freeman. We got Matty Ice still living.
This is why I'm a Packer and Falcons fan. So then I can, you know, anytime.
Anytime one starts to fall off, you can always go back to Aaron Rodgers.
Boom! Let's get it. It's popping.
Cheesehead on.
There you go.
But let me ask you a question. Let me ask you a question.
No. Next topic.
Who has more passing yards? Matt Ryan or Aaron Rodgers?
Yeah, well, I mean, you got garbage yards. There's a lot of those are garbage
yards.
I said what I said. Look, let's talk about the Heisman finalists. Who y'all got?
My boys. All right. I got to tell y'all real quick. I went to College Football Awards this week.
Oh,
I got to talk to them boys at the media day day before. Yeah, man. Look, Lamar, real cool. He grew up with Kodak Black.
Yeah.
He went to elementary school with him.
Oh, nice. That's why he's always saying free Kodak.
He went to elementary school with him. Lamar does. But I don't think he should win because he ended the season on a 2-game losing streak.
He did.
He's a really cool dude, though. But I don't think he should
win. That's enough to win to me.
Deshaun Watson?
Wow. He looks like Jimmy Butler. Has anybody else noticed that?
Yeah, someone else said that. Oh. Yeah, because my friend put him on his snap, and he's like, "Why is Jimmy Butler in a Louisville shirt?"
Yeah, I'm gonna go with Lamar. Like, it's been such a foregone conclusion since maybe week four. I mean, the guy has 50 something touchdowns. Like, there's no one else who has impressed me enough to just be like, "Okay, they deserve it over somebody."
But this is like one of the most, type of like Heisman final. Like
when you lose like, to Kentucky in football,
that was bad. And he had like what 3 turnovers that game. And I was like, damn, he kind of might have messed his chances up. But nobody else stepped up enough.
No,
like,
nobody took the spotlight.
Took the spotlight. So it's like you can't get mad at him.
Those
like,
two losses only kind of closed the gap a little bit. Like the gap was so large before that those two losses just brought it to maybe. Instead of him winning 98% of the votes, now he'll win 50 or so.
What is his Heisman like moment from this season?
Florida State, Syracuse, the jumping over the guy.
Jumping over the guy to me was like
jumping
ridiculous.
Over the dude from Syracuse. That's some Michael Vick.
What about
Rice?
even the Clemson game, where I saw that dude avoid, like literally, I don't know, go through defensive linemen and like sidestep like two linebackers without really. ever see me like out of control. And I was like, he won. Like to me, I'm like looking for little things. I'm like, this dude, here's like Vic. I don't know if Vic was ever, I mean, Vic's elusive. We know that, like one of the most.
He's a better passer than Vic ever thought about being.
Yeah, oh yeah, way better.
He's more.
But this dude might be more elusive. When I see him like eluding that in that type of traffic, I was like, yo, I got to give him to him. Like he got it.
Yeah. Vic was average at best at passing.
Yeah, very
and
average.
And this guy's pretty big too. I didn't realize he was 6'3 or 6'4.
Is he actually 6'3, 6'4?
Yeah, I think I might be taller than him. Or we're the same height.
They might, okay. I didn't know that either. I was like, wait,
he's deceptively big.
And he's like, he plays like strong. Like, you know what I mean? Like, he's not afraid to, he's bulky. Yeah. See, I'm impressed with, and even, like you're saying, Vic might have had a bigger arm than him, maybe.
I think he's more accurate.
This guy is more accurate. Yeah,
and you know, when a couple episodes ago I said he won't be an NFL quarterback, I checked it back. he's probably gonna be a
roll
top
the
five
tape.
Pick. He's probably gonna be a top five pick next year.
He said, and my boy Leonard gonna be there. Please the Browns, stay away from him. Don't touch him. All right, unless I'm touching y'all, you know what I mean? So no, Leonard Fournette, and then Lamar, and who else y'all think might fill out the top five?
Jalen Hurts. Jalen Hurts is a guy to watch.
Jalen Hurts?
I mean, he's the best player.
Oh, he's a freshman, though. But
he's a freshman, though.
Yeah, yeah, yeah.
I'm talking about draft.
No, even. I'm not talking about, I'm talking about for Heisman.
Oh, next year.
No, this year.
Jalen's not in. He can't.
He's not in it?
No. Why not? Jalen's had too many turnovers this year, and he was up and down too many like games. He's not, no. Mm. Next year, he'll be definitely like in the front runner.
Yeah, but the front runners never win, though. I think Jacob Eason wins it next year.
Sure. Oh. Anyway, another, because somebody, an objective fan of some other guy, UGA fan.
There's no way that the Falcons really are going to win the Super Bowl and Jacob Eason's going to win the Heisman in the same year. Jeremy. It won't happen in 2017.
There's no way the Hawks are beating the Cavaliers. But you guys get on here and say that every week. So.
That would be too much of a dream for most Atlanta sports fans, for the Falcons to win the Super Bowl and for Jacob Eason to win the Heisman.
Not
like we're not used to that kind of elation down here.
We are Cleveland. I think we're gonna have to go through what Cleveland went through, like the city, just for a while. We're not gonna win. All right, it's gonna be a minute before we win, and I'm okay with that. You know, it's just whatever it is. I'm tired of it. We're not gonna win nothing. I mean, I think the closest, like you said, if I had to choose, it would be the Falcons would have a closer chance of winning a championship than the Hawks. I can agree with that because LeBron and whatever. But
you said that like that was like it was close before.
No, it was.
It's never been close.
It is close. You are.
NFC
is deep. You know that. Like, come on.
But in football, anything can happen.
Anything can happen. True.
So after the Falcons. After that, it's Georgia, the football team. Yes. Then after that, it's Georgia Tech's football team.
Oh, stop it.
Then the Hawks. After that, it's Georgia's basketball team.
He's so disrespectful.
And then after that, it's Georgia State's basketball team. And we can talk about the Hawks winning. Like, the Hawks are not beating LeBron.
Why are you so disrespectful?
Because they're not beating LeBron. They're not
what's
good.
What's the problem with you? Because you're from Athens. So you don't.
If Georgia couldn't win with Matthew Stafford, A.J. Green, if Georgia couldn't win with NoSean Moreno, Georgia could have won with Todd Gurley.
True.
If Georgia could have won with, hold on, who else? We got
the
linebacker with the dreads.
The linebacker with the dreads.
Jarvis Jones.
Jarvis Jones.
They could have won with Jarvis Jones.
Shout out to Jones.
Is Georgia going to win with Eason?
What those teams were top heavy and star heavy. The teams that Kirby Smart is building will be deep, like Alabama's team. That's the difference. It's not about having star players. And
wait, you said they will be deep?
They'll be deeper. Like, if you look at Georgia's roster, up and down the roster, over the next 2 years, they're going to have literally 70% of their roster is going to be 4-star and 5-star talent.
But y'all have always had top talent. Y'all
no,
never
we
show.
Haven't.
That was Rick'd.
That was
look
that,
at the y'all.
That was under Rick.
No.
I know under Rick, but y'all had some really top recruiting classes, and then the next year,
what happened was that they would get two big 5-star talents.
Okay,
everybody else will be low 3-stars or low 4-stars.
Wait, so why is the ranking so high then? Why did they put you guys?
I don't know why they put because it's top.
So it's top heavy.
The tops will be the classes will be top heavy. Now the classes are consistent throughout.
Yeah, even out. Okay,
and there's one or two gym guys that are like, oh yeah, that's the guy. But really, everybody on that. In the class are decent guys. Oh, that's the difference.
I'll be patient. I think you guys need to be patient. I think you're patient with your new coach, but I don't know if the rest of UGA Nation is. I just can't.
No.
I feel like they're gonna. Yeah, I feel like they're already. I think next year he's gonna get some heat on him already if they don't win enough games, which to me is unfair because he has to clean up a lot of what Rick did.
Yeah.
But
took 15 years to mess it up. He's not gonna fix it in a year.
Yeah, exactly. No, he's not. But absolutely. You need to don't be disrespecting the Hawks like you do. You know? You need to stop doing that.
I'm just telling you the truth, man.
No, you're not. You know, I mean,
like they're in the middle ground, and they don't realize they are, and they're trying to add pieces to get better when they're really making the team worse.
They're making the team worse.
Kent Bazemore got $70 million.
He did. He got a lot of money. Everybody got money. I got money. I got paid too. All right?
I like that.
I know. But I'm saying everybody in the league
you're
got
good
money.
At what you do.
Everybody, no.
You're good at what you do.
No, everybody got paid this year. Everybody got paid this year, which I know I get it's like stupid. Even, who's the guy? Mike. We saw Chandler Parsons got like 20-something mil.
Yeah.
You know, like, yeah. And
I
he
take
got
him
never
over
plays.
Kent Bazemore.
He never plays. You don't want him. His knees are washed. He's knees are washed. You don't want him. No. Well, okay, that's your fault.
He
I'm just saying.
Kent Bazemore.
Everybody's... You're a hater of Kent Millsap.
Yep.
And you know we might really get Kent on the show, so you got to apologize to his face.
I'm sorry, Kent.
You gonna do it now? You gonna do it right now?
Wow.
So
y'all Kent, not winning the championship, bro. I'm sorry.
Are you gonna tell him that?
That's
what you meant.
Hey man, Baze is a great man. He's a great man.
Thank you.
But
community work he does.
He has let me down this year, man. On the court. You got to separate on the court and off the court. Off the court, every time I'm in the locker room, I might be with Eric. This man always saying, what's up? How you doing?
He be saying, what's up, guys? He's the cool
dude. He always heading out first before we heading out him.
That's so true.
He's a good dude. Yeah. But on the court, he has let me down this year.
He has.
And I'm sorry, Baze. I'm sorry. It pains me because you my dude.
It pains me.
You my dude.
Yeah, yeah.
But you've let her sound this year.
I respect all that. I'm, you know, a friend of the show is a great friend, man. I appreciate you being nice to my friends, but you know, man.
You don't care. Yeah.
At some point, you know, you gotta. You have to play basketball.
You have to play basketball. Kent's not gonna average 20 or nothing, all right? But just
he got paid like he averages 20. That's what I'm saying.
Everybody got paid like
everybody's
they average 20.
Money in the NBA nowadays. The money is rolling like crazy. Just like we were just talking with Randy, the money in the NBA is rolling like crazy. Everybody getting paid.
Everybody. No, and thank Michael for that. Michael and all them set it up so all these dudes can get paid. LeBron getting paid. Everybody's getting paid, so it's fine. I get it, but we have to look at it more. If like it's not. They're not actually getting paid what they're really worth. It's just like, you know, the league's, that's how the league's trending, man. I can only imagine how much people are going to get paid like 5 years from now. Yeah. It's going to be ridiculous.
It's no different from what's going on in baseball. Yeah, it's no different from what's going on in baseball because baseball players have been getting crazy bread for the longest period of time. Now it's happening in the NBA.
I heard that Bryce Harper is in line to get maybe like a $400 million contract. That would be insane. First of all, this is a guy that hit 40 home runs and people thought he was great. Like, 40 home runs 10 years ago is like
nothing.
A yawn.
40 steroids, home runs bro. Now
this
is the
thing,
new
this
55.
Thing called steroids happened. So, you know, it was like
true,
50 was like,
true.
Okay, he had a good year.
Yeah.
He hit 50.
The steroid trade.
And then it was like 60 is like, you're great. If you hit 50, you're good. If you hit 40, you're average at an all-star.
Right.
But now it's like 40 is like back to you're good. But, I mean, if the Yankees... Man, the Yankees look like they're about to get back in it. Because for a second, it seemed like, oh, the Yankees are going to build their farm system. Oh, I've never seen this from New York. And then a couple weeks later, you hear, oh, yeah, the Yankees, they saving up to get Mike Trout. And they're going to get Bryce Harper in the same year. And they're both going to give him like $600 million combined in the same summer. So, New York is always going to New York. And I'm just excited that baseball's somewhat exciting again now.
It's as long as the Yankees are owned by someone with the last name Steinbrenner, they're going to spend money, apparently.
Yeah. The Red Sox just pulled off a heist century getting Chris Sale.
Absolutely.
I don't know about his character, man. Isn't he the one that, like, ripped his jersey apart this year because he thought he got traded and he didn't really get traded?
Sounds like he was on K2.
I mean, but he's you know, probably the best pitcher in baseball right now in the American League. So.
True.
We'll see. That shelf life in baseball on that pitching, you can't on that mound, man. It's kind of short.
These
days, you know, Derek
it's
kind of
short, but the thing about baseball nowadays is, as opposed to a few years ago back during the steroid era, is now teams are loading up on pitchers. Look at what the Cubs just did. Teams are loading up on pitchers because the league is no longer conducive to players hitting, you know, 40, you know, home runs, like, or rather 50 home runs, like. In many ways, 40, like we just said, is the new 55. So you got to have good pitching. Look at what the Cubs just did.
And speaking of the Cubs, you know, the Yankees bringing back Arlandis Chapman from the Cubs after trading him
like
a couple months ago. And that's a Yankee thing. You know, Yankees gone Yankee. And
they gone Yankee.
Yep.
Well, cool, man. Episode here was episode 18 of the A-League podcast. We had the man Randy Osei on from Rosé Management. Now let's go around the room, do our outros. Eyabo5 is the Twitter. Go to hawkshoop.com. Check out some of the post-game analysis from me and Avery Yang. EricEyabo.com is the website.
I'm out.
RashadMilligan.com. A lot of people have been talking trash about me in Panther Nation, Panther family. Y'all my dogs, you know what I'm saying? Like, I'm nice to y'all. Why y'all hate me? So if y'all want to see me, y'all could pull up to the commons at Georgia State University, 231B. I'm always there. You know, they closing it down. They closing the dorm down for December and winter break. But you could probably find me back on the first week of the year. If you are a student, most of you aren't students. You're like 40-year-old white men.
Just trying me. It's so lit.
If y'all want to try me, come try me, man.
I love it. I love it.
Hey, respect, man.
Yeah, I love it.
Hey, man, hey, don't come for Rashad, man. That jump was unnecessary.
Put some respect,
man.
He's
very young, man. Come on now.
It was unnecessary for real.
It was really unnecessary. All right.
Wow, they mad because they washed. That's it.
I don't even have an outro. That was my that was good. Outro.
No, that was good. That really
he
was.
He said the message that he got it across. I'm good. That's all I wanted y'all to know.
He said it. Akeem Balaam on Twitter and the gram. Check it out. As always, Merry Christmas, Happy Holidays. Hey. But the real outro was what Rashad just said.
That was.
Put some respect on his name.
Peace.
Insurance-minded speeches from Geico.
It's a common expression, don't look a gift horse in the mouth. However, what if the horse's mouth is filled with useful insurance tools? This is the exact case with the Geico app. Yes, the app is free and therefore a gift horse. However, look inside the app and behold, emergency roadside assistance, digital ID cards, bill pay. Get the Geico app. Look it in the mouth. Get amazing services. Thank you.